right, and thank you for listening, everybody. This is the Pinball Podcast. I am Jeff Rivera, and I'm here with Don tonight. Don, how are you doing?
Doing great, Jeff.
And Don, man, we just keep getting back at it, and I guess at this point the show's not going away, huh? It's becoming a habit.
Yeah, that's okay. It's a good habit to have. Drives my wife crazy, so.
Yeah, my wife's up putting the kid to bed, and I'm down here screwing around on the microphone. But so, well, how have things been going?
Things have been very busy in my pinball camp.
Yeah, that's a good kind of busy, if it's pinball busy.
Yes, I think that's why it's been driving her crazy. Yeah. She said this morning, sometimes I just get tired of pinball. So I served her papers this afternoon. We're separated right now.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, tired of pinball, man. I don't know that feeling, mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been busy with other stuff. We are buying and selling home. Ours is under contract here, and then the house that we're buying is under contract. Luckily, they both close on the same day, so we're literally just gonna move straight across to the new home. But my biggest worry is moving those pins. I tell you. You know, they're like babies, so I'm gonna probably go buy out the city's supply of shrink wrap and bubble wrap and do them up well, because I am going to have movers move them, because there's just too many for me to handle. But they're gonna be mummified before they even put those things on a dolly. So they got to go up a flight of stairs, which is what makes me worry.
Yeah, so. Is it a twisty flight or a straight shot?
It's straight, but it's long, and the turn at the end is a very, very tight turn at the top of the stairs. So, you know, when we moved in, some of them chose to actually lift it over the railing. That made me pretty nervous. I hope they don't decide to do that again. But the new house has a walkout basement, yes. So it's going to be pretty nice putting them in. This is the last real risky move for my pinball hobby for the immediate future, so I gotta just make sure it goes smoothly. But.
So keep your collection and your thoughts and prayers.
Yes, people, pray for my pins. You don't want to see a collector's quality Attack from Mars take a tumble down the stairs. So.
No, don't say that. Knock on some wood. No.
Yeah. There you go. So anyway, generally we started out the show talking about what we've been doing in pinball, and you've been quite active, so I'll go first, and I'll give you most of the time here, but... I haven't been able to do a lot just because of the whole busyness of, you know, the whole house situation. But one thing is as we've been looking at houses, my wife and I have been, you know, one of the considerations is what are we doing with the games? You know, it's been nice. We've got plenty of games in the house right now, but part of the thing is, well, if we're going to move, we want to improve the game room situation. And she's on board with that. And we've been making the decision on whether we want to, you know, buy an unfinished basement and, you know, rough out some room for a game room. And that's a lot of most people's ideal situation. Or if we just wanted to, and this house has a pretty large third car garage, if I wanted to take that space or what. But we kind of come into the idea is that I'm going to use two of the bedrooms in the basement for now that are adjacent. But this is the short term, and in the long term is we bought a house that sits on a 0.54 acre lot, which for a lot of the guys in the Midwest, they're like, well, that's pretty small. But for us here out in the West, that's a fairly large lot. And we're going to build an exterior arcade, and it's going to have its own, you know, power and temperature control systems and everything. And I'm probably have to save for a couple of years before I can do that, or might have to build it in stages. But in the end, it's going to be awesome. Just because we have like this covered area that comes out of the house from the walkout basement, and it's basically going to go right to where we'll build this exterior game room. And then you can be as loud as I want to be at nighttime, you know, it's not going to bug anybody. And you know, I'll have plenty of room to grow into, and it'll be much larger than just roughing out a bit of the basement. And then I don't feel guilty about, you know, future kids having to squeeze together in rooms just so I can have room for my pinball and arcade machines. But that's the plan. And I guess what I've been doing in pinball is mostly daydreaming of the day that's all a reality. It might take a couple of years, but I'm excited for it all the same. So. But now you've done some actual playing and actual hands-on stuff, so why don't you kind of fill everybody in what you've done for the last month?
Yeah, you're making me kind of jealous with my tiny little backyard that will never get any additions added. But yeah, I went to the Rocky Mountain Show up in Denver about 3 weeks ago, and I had a good time. I got to try lots of more AC/DC, lots more Transformers. But the cool thing with Colorado is there's a big collector community there, so there was a lot of really cool collector games. There was a Fathom that Basil brought that was like perfect. The body was totally redone, had a brand new playfield, brand new plastics. It had a topper from when they did the plastics reissue. It was really, really nice. I think it had a new glass, a new back glass. So that was, I think that ended up winning best of show, and it was well deserved. That was really nice.
Yeah, that's one of those ones when you just walk up to it, it's real easy just to sit and stare.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a nice-looking game.
Yeah, Greg Ferris has said that he wants to do, like, a graphic novel, like, continuing the story that was in the flyer for that game, which would be kind of cool. I hope he gets it done. He needs to kickstart it. I should email him.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way to go these days.
There's enough pinheads that would want to see that. And there's a lot you can do with books in the Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. So that was a highlight. I spent a lot of time playing EMs. Tim Real, I don't know his last name. I don't know how to pronounce it anyway. He had a really nice collection of EMs, Polly's Pinball, and his buddy Mike. They brought some really nice games. There was a Zachariah Space Shuttle. I don't know if you've ever seen that. That is a pretty rare game.
I've seen it. I never seen one in person.
So. It was really nice. There was both flavors of color DMD there. There was a Attack from Mars and a Medieval Madness. So it was cool to try both of those out. There was a pretty nice Circus Voltaire there, which always, you know, is a soft spot for me. So it was a lot of fun. I played, I was trying to think of games that I had never played before. And there was a Phantom of the Opera there that I had never played prior.
That's a cool looking game.
It is a cool looking game. It kept going down throughout the show. So I think I played it three times, and I think one game it actually went all the way through, and I did really bad, so I wasn't even hitting any cool shots. But it was a really cool looking game, and you just don't see them very often, so it was nice to be able to see it and kind of take it in.
Yeah, I shopped one out recently. I get calls from local people, you know, clean or repair machines, and he had a few repairs that needed to be done, and I always ask ahead of time what the game is, so I kind of know what to expect. And he said a Phantom of the Opera, and I was like, well, I don't think I've ever seen one in person.
Yeah.
So I grabbed everything that I knew of for a Data East game, and luckily I was able to address all of his issues. And then we just sat and played the thing for an hour, and he had actually never waxed it since he owned it. And he bought it in kind of a little bit of a dirty situation. Like, it was, he needed some cleaning, and once we got that thing all cleaned and tuned in, he couldn't believe it. And it's a fun game. It's got a lot of great sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sound was awesome. And even what they did with the alphanumeric display was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun being able to try one of those out. It actually was ignoring the Orbiter 1 that was right next to it because it was kind of cool to see. So that was always fun. The day when we first landed, we drove straight to Lyons, Colorado, to check out Lyons Classic Pinball. And they used to have, like, a monster room with, like, Tales from the Crypt and Monster Bash and Creature and stuff. But now it's a rock and roll room, so it's all music-themed pins. Which, oh, they just got an AC/DC this week. It wasn't there when I was there, but they had a Rolling Stones, Elvis, Guns N' Roses. They had a Dolly Parton, and I'd never played that, and that was actually a really fun game.
Isn't that the one that's getting remade to be the New Vegas? Or
Yeah, whatever it's called, yeah. Is it Vegas? No, I think Las Vegas. Maybe that's
Las Vegas.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Vegas. They're making a kit for it. Something Vegas. Yeah. But it was a really fun game. The cabinet art was really cool. So it was fun playing that. And we also went to 1UP downtown in Denver,
mm-hmm.
which is a barcade of sorts.
Yeah.
It was pretty packed when we went. We went on a Thursday night, I think. And it's kind of like right there in like the College Row where all the hot bars are, I guess. So there was people all over the street, and they had probably close to 20 games, but they were mostly all A-list games. They had a Rocky and Bullwinkle. I guess that was probably the furthest from the pack. But they also had about 40 arcade games as well, and all of them were in pretty nice shape. And I didn't have any issues playing. It was really fun. Even some of them had mods. Like, you know, I know Dan Gutchess, who's a previous winner of a prize on the Pinball Podcast, and I actually met him and just, you know, said hi. And he takes care of all those games, and he does a really nice job. It sounds like a full time job just keeping them going, but
I bet. He runs Classic Arcade Resource, right?
I don't know. I wish I knew that answer.
I hope I'm not crediting the wrong guy, but I'm pretty sure it's him, and I bought the Revenge from Mars from him out at Rocky Mountain Pinball Showdown, as well as a Lord of the Rings and Simpsons Pinball Party, but...
Oh, cool. Maybe I never made that connection. I know he's very involved in that.
If it's not, then I messed up, but sorry, Dan. And Dan.
And whoever is, yeah.
It's Dan. Dan.
Dan yeah. Something.
There's a lot of Dans in Denver, so forgive me.
But anyway, 1UP was a lot of fun. Definitely worth a stop if you're in the area. So when we finished there, we flew straight to Vegas where my wife had a meeting. So I spent all day at the Pinball Hall of Fame, and I played pretty much everything they had. I found myself playing mostly EMs because a lot of the DMD games, a lot of the newer games anyway, I've kind of played, and I was getting more of a taste for them when we were in Denver because it was so busy and the popular games always had a line, so we just found ourselves playing the EMs, and then we found ourselves, okay, well, what's the replay on this? Like, really challenging ourselves and getting into what the designer was going for, and this is the first time... EMs have ever really clicked with me to this extent. I've always thought they were kind of cool, kind of different and retro and, you know, a fun footnote, but they were a lot more than that. They are very challenging games. And, man, I played a ton of EMs at the Pinball Hall of Fame. They're mostly all in good shape.
Yeah. Did Kim Mitchell have his Centigrade 37 there?
I don't know. Oh, At Denver?
The Showdown, yeah.
There wasn't one there, but there was one in Las Vegas.
Oh.
I think he's brought it previous years, though.
Yeah, he has. It's really nice looking. He's got the PDI glass on it.
Kim brought a knockout. I can't think of the manufacturer, but it was the highest or the most desirable wood rail in the latest issue of Mr. Pinball Price Guide, which I didn't know till after because I was like, yeah, Knockout was really cool. Let me check it out. There's like a little ring with two little metal boxers and a metal referee, and one of the boxers, you know, punches and then knocks the other one out, and the little metal figure falls over.
Yeah, he's got some really nice EMs, takes good care of them, and brings them out to the shows.
It was very cool. And I should say that even though there was times when there was lines waiting on the A-list games, there were a ton of A-list games there, so you pretty much would get to play everything. And there was, you know, Denver has the most amount of play time. There's lots of opportunities to walk around and play. There's close to 40 hours, I think, the free play area was open. So,
yeah, that's great.
It was a lot of fun. Pinball Hall of Fame was great, as always. The one game that was kind of acting flaky was Roller Coaster Tycoon, which is the one I really wanted to get a feel for because I've been thinking about buying one.
It's got a lot going on in that game, so...
Yeah, the upper flipper was not having it, and the lower left flipper was really weak, too. So, yeah, and he's... You know, Tim's got his hands full there. He was working on games the whole day that I was there.
I bet.
He just pulled that one open when I was headed out. But, anyway, it's a no-brainer. If you're in Vegas, you gotta check out the Pinball Hall of Fame. So, I think that's the bulk of what I've been doing in pinball. As such, when I was playing all these games, I was playing the Simpsons Pinball Party, and it finally clicked in my head, if I ever want to own this, I need to sell one of my more valuable games. That'll have the capital and give you the space for the Simpsons, which is a game my wife and I really love. So I have I had a really nice Star Trek Next Generation. It was autographed by three of the cast members and the artist and designer of the game. It had all the LEDs, all the ships were painted, so I put a lot of time into it, and I love that game, but it went to a good home, and it just wasn't getting played as much as the rest of our pins, and I said, it finally broke it down in my head, I would play The Simpsons more than I play the Star Trek, so there's my justification.
Yeah, the Simpsons is a great game, I love it, it's probably in my own personal top 10, and I think it probably would sneak into quite a few people's top 10, so, Yeah, it's a good game. Yeah. I like it a lot.
I hope you're right. I've been rapidly seeking one, and hope to find one this week. So maybe the next episode I'll have some news on if I picked one up or not. I haven't bought a new pin in a long time, so I kind of have that itch.
Yeah, and that's one of those games that if you're intent on seeing all of the wizard modes and stuff, it's going to be a long, long time before you do that. It's a lot like Lord of the Rings, and there's a lot of modes that are buried down deep, and getting to them is not easy. It takes a lot of dedication to see them all. I've probably, you know, not seen half of the wizard modes in that game.
Wow.
So, it's great.
Cool. So, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, so that's a pretty busy, month there. Being able to go to the Pinball Hall of Fame and attend a show, that's awesome. I mean, we'd all love to do one of the two of those, but sounds like you've had a good time.
Yeah, great time.
All right, well, let's jump into some listener feedback. We always like hearing from people, and this last month we had some nice notes drop through, and just this one's more of a shout-out than full-on feedback, but Kelly, who runs slcpinball.com, shot me a quick note that he started listening to the podcast, and he runs the Salt Lake City pinball map, and he's looking to start up some tournaments and stuff. It's kind of a little growing pinball community, and it looks like he wants to open up a store as well. So I thought I'd just give him a little bit of a shout out. Anybody, and really, not just the immediate Salt Lake area, all the way down through, Provo and stuff, which is about an hour south. He maps out the games, and he's done a really good job of saying what's out there and the condition they're in. So that's slcpinball.com, and thanks, Kelly, for letting us know that you've been listening. We appreciate it, and for the kind words. So check them out if you're in the area. We've had a little bit of kind of trickling feedback still coming in from the Pinball March Madness we ran, and I am extremely impressed and happy with the community. Not a single complaint about the process or the results or anything. Everybody was really, really great. They gave a lot of compliments. They had fun. And, we've had, it was kind of a, spur of the moment decision. So not a lot of planning went into it, and that showed to some degree, but, it just gives us a lot of motivation for doing it next year. So everybody who participated or voted or just, kind of observed from a distance, we appreciate it. Thanks. It helped a lot. I mean, counting up all those votes at the end was, to call it a chore is an understatement, but, when it paid off and people had a lot of fun with it and everyone was appreciative, it just, like I said, it already got me excited for it again. So, any other feedback you pulled? I know we had a few more come through, some good emails.
We need to work out like a pinball Stanley Cup final or a pinball, I don't know, what do they do? A pinball Kentucky Derby or something?
Yeah, something to do.
All
more
the popular
than
office pool games. I had a really nice email from a listener named Dante, who was giving us a lot of kind of back and forth feedback, and he sounds like he's kind of new to the hobby, played mostly on his Xbox and whatnot, and that got him interested in checking out games in real life. So we gave him some links, the Portland pinball map and whatnot, pinballmap.com. So he got out there and played some real pins in real life, and a couple questions he had for us were, how do you meet other people who are into pinball? So I guess even the video game community he's in, a lot of them aren't into pinball. And, some of these small hobby groups are kind of out there. And, Jeff, how do you meet folks?
Well, I'm kind of lucky. I kind of fell into a lot of the guys in this area, meeting them. But, I just mentioned the SLC pinball map and the guy running that. If you get in and, start kind of helping those guys contribute a little bit, a lot of times they'll offer, hey, if you're out checking out places, maybe we can meet up and play some pinball together and you guys can go and hit one of the more popular spots or something. And then from there, you're like, hey, let's get some more guys together. And it just starts kind of grow as far as getting people together to play. If you have some machines, even if it's only a couple, invite some people over for, just a little get-together. and tell people, feel free to invite others. You get a group around, next thing you know, you're getting invited to multiple people's homes. Obviously, when you're posting on pinball forums like Pinside or RGP, don't make it a secret where you're from. A lot of times you'll mention, hey, you know, I'm in the Salt Lake City area for like myself, and then I'll have two or three guys shoot me a private message, say, oh, I'm in this city, and I'd love to, you know, find guys to play pinball with. And next thing you know, you've got a little bit of a group of guys that you're playing with regularly, or you guys can work together at starting up a league or a mini tournament or something. And once you have friends in the hobby, you start finding a lot of deals. You start getting machines offered up to you before they hit the local classifieds, and you find games that maybe weren't necessarily going to be for sale, but someone understands it's something you're looking for, so they'll talk to you like, you know, it's not for sale, but maybe you could talk me out of it. And the communities are out there. You just kind of got to find your way into them. And I guess the biggest tip is don't be shy. All of us like playing with more people, so I don't know anybody who plays pinball and is kind of cranky and a loner about it. Everybody seems to want to play with more people, so don't be shy. Just get out and talk to them.
And I think he hit the nail on the head. He even specifically asked, is the community pretty welcoming? When I got into the hobby, I had no idea the community would be so welcoming. You know, you say, hey, I got an issue with this. You know, you got 15 emails in 20 minutes from all across the country. Yeah. 99% of the pinball community wants to help each other out. There's a couple of the oddballs that, you know, troll the communities and cause problems, but they're few and far between. And on Pinside, there's a cool feature where you can see people near you. You know, you can even see people's collections if they put them on there. I actually did that recently for Albuquerque, and I actually found a couple of people I knew, so I click on their collections, and, hey, Eddie has a Spider-Man? I didn't know he had a Spider-Man. I better give him a call. But you can even say, you know, hey, I saw you on Pinside. That's actually how I met my friend Eddie, is he joined the Wizard of Oz group. So I just sent him an email. Hey, I saw you ordered a Wizard of Oz. I'm in Albuquerque. You know, do you have any other games? Is your family into it, etc.? Yeah, just shoot the emails out and be open. The Facebook group for Duke City Pinball, which is the Albuquerque Pinball group, is pretty active. I've met some really cool people through that. And all it was, you know, it started with me and a friend of mine. We just started talking back and forth on this kind of public forum, and people started chiming in. So, yeah, it's a great community.
Yeah, and one last resource is pinballowners.com. I don't know if you've registered on there, Don.
No, I haven't.
It ties in with a Google map, and it's pretty cool because you can go in and you can say what machines you have, whether they're for sale, the condition they're in, how much experience you have with each machine. So if I say I own, like you said, a Spider-Man, I can, you know, say, hey, I've shopped this thing out and torn it down to the bare playfield and put it back together. So if you look and you see someone in your same area that's got the same machine as them, maybe they've listed, I have a few issues with this machine. Then you can give them a call and say, oh, I know that one. You can help them out. But one thing is, you can put on there as well if you accept visitors to your home or whatever. So
oh, that's cool.
That's always worth doing. And you know, I get probably once, I would say about a month, but lately it's been a little bit more active, a message through pinballowners.com, just people saying, hey, I wouldn't mind dropping by. And I've had a few stop-ins, and it's always fun. I mean, the machines are meant to be played, and I always encourage people to bring their kids along. And if you really want to meet people, make it not a secret that you're willing to let kids play on your machines. And you'll a lot of times meet people who aren't necessarily pinball owners, but they're pinball fans. And next thing you know, they'll be looking to pick up a machine or two, and people in your area might start picking up games, and then you'll just naturally have more people to play with. But
most people love to share their collections, brag about the games they have.
Yeah, I understand as well, like he's a bit more into console gaming. That community is a little bit more competitive with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe they do want to sit down and play a little co-op or something online or whatever, but it's not the same. There's not the same level of kind of pride that you get in that community as you do with the pinball owners. It's more about, hanging out and sharing and fixing each other's stuff and swapping games and stories and lies of high scores. So, but yeah, that great question. And if anybody else has any tips of where they've met fellow pinheads, obviously shows are one thing, but let us know. We'd love to hear your comments on that.
Another question that he had, Dante asks, what do people think about nudging and tilting? I always thought it was rude / cheating, but I've watched the pop-up videos online. It seems like everybody else does it. This is something that I've even heard Bowen Cairns, who's one of the best pinball players in the country, talk about. When he got started, he thought, you know, nudging and tilting was rude. And when I heard Kevin Carroll talk about his Rockola World Series, I don't know if you've ever seen that game, but it was a 1930s pinball machine with no flippers. You know, it was pre-flipper. So when he told me the only way you control the ball is through nudging, nudging is a, you know, it's one of the basics of pinball. And I feel the same way. Oh, you don't want to bang the machine around. You don't want to tilt, you know, tilt so bad. But nudging is a skill, a very, very important skill. And it's an art with some people. I mean, some people are excellent at it. So you start to find games you can kind of throw your weight around. You try to work with different stances. Maybe put your left foot forward, your right foot back. That's something that I do that made a big difference. I also, instead of leaning on the machine, I've started to try and step backwards where my weight isn't on my arms, where my hands are touching the flippers so that I'm not holding the machine down. Yeah. But I can actually rock it. And as somebody who has never nudged that often, I'm getting a lot better with, you know, slapping it and whatnot. So you kind of find your comfort zone and then you just push it and push it and push it. And you don't want to get into bane back mode where you're breaking your wrist and stuff. And that's kind of, that's not classy either. You go to a buddy's house and start kicking his games around. But nudging and tilting is part of the game.
It is. And, you know, if it wasn't a part of the game, then tilts would be set at a certain amount where they said this is too far. But they make tilts adjustable for a reason. It's just part of it. You know, some machines play tight, some play loose. And part of the game is figuring out how much give the machine has, then you pushing it to the edge of that to keep your ball alive best as possible. And a tilt itself isn't rude. It's when you're tilting constantly.
Yeah.
That's rude. But yeah, a tilt here and there, that's part of the game and that's expected. So
on modern games, a tilt isn't one and done. It gives you a warning. Now on older EMs, it's one and done. Yeah. You tilt and your ball's gone. So just play with the game. Be aware. Another thing that kind of ties in is Dante asked, how do you get better? I'm sure the answer is practice, but, you know, where are techniques to focus on and, you know, how do you practice to become more efficient? One place I would start is one of my favorite little blogs is one that Bowen runs, or I guess Papa has a crown on, which is the Tilt Warning blog. So if you Google Tilt Warning, we'll post a link. I think it's tiltwarning.blogspot.com. But he has tutorials, which are anything from the Transformers one he just posted that was like over an hour long, that's a video tutorial, to I think his Theater of Magic tutorial is Left Loop All Day. That's his tutorial. So that's how you get better at that game. So for specific games, that's a great resource. But if you check out Pinball 101, there's a DVD, there's clips online on YouTube, there's an app that contains the whole DVD split up into chapters. You just touch the technique you want to learn. And there's everything from beginner to intermediate to advanced techniques with all kinds of different things.
Yeah, the techniques in Pinball 101, the vast majority of them are just based around ball control. Hitting the ramps and everything is awesome and it looks great, but really, to get your highest scores, it's about those long ball times. You get modes stacking, you get multiple multi-balls, and is just keeping the ball alive. So if you're going to work on one thing, just work on ball control. Instead of just flipping the second it gets down to those flippers, think about, can you do a trap, or if you let it roll a little longer on the flipper, is it going to give you a better setup for a secondary shot? Bounce pass, try doing a catch or whatever it may be. That's the main thing about pinball is you might not be an accurate shooter, but if you can keep the ball from draining, you're gonna be good. So
and when you step up to the machine, as you get better, take a minute to read that little card on the apron that gives you just the basics on how to start modes. A lot of times people just play pinball to keep the ball alive, which is important. But, you know, knowing to hit this shot, then this shot to start this, or this satisfies this, or even for a skill shot, shoot here. That little information will really boost your score.
Yep, exactly.
A lot of people just kind of ignore it.
Yep.
So Dante, appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, and a lot of that will just come with time. The more you play, the better you'll get. So drop some quarters and just play. So I think that's about it for feedback. Sure. Thanks to everybody who kicked in. And definitely email us. You can email us at pinballpodcast@gmail.com. You can post on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/pinballpodcast. You can tweet at us at pinballpodcast on Twitter. And we keep track of everything that comes through. So we love hearing from you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
So, well, let's jump into a little bit of news. We're pretty light on that. As we were talking beforehand, I think people generally get their fill of news throughout the month, and we recap a little bit of it. But just a couple of things that we thought we'd mention is there's this guy who sells on eBay alternate translights for games. And since we spotlighted the Shadow recently, we thought we would mention that there is now an alternate translight available for the Shadow. And it brings the, you know, art to kind of match what's on the translight to what's in the game a bit better. So we'll put a link to the eBay listing on that. This seller's always putting up different ones, so you can kind of see what else he has, but just thought it was worth mentioning. And what do you think? Do you think it looks better than the original Dawn?
Yeah, it's definitely a different feel. I think it fits more so the cabinet art, kind of has that darker tone. It looks really sharp, and you know, some of his translights are, you know, just a totally different feel. I think like a Monte Carlo might look kind of different, but his Flintstones, he uses the same translate. He just takes all the actors' bodies out and puts in the cartoons.
Yeah.
And he does a really, really nice job. They all look very sharp. Last Action Hero, all he did was put the movie poster on there instead of the translate that was designed for the game. Right. I think it looks 100 times better, though. And he's actually got a reasonable price. All his translates are about $90. So about $100 shipped, but it's a custom translate, so it seemed reasonable to me.
Yeah, he's doing more than just printing reproductions. He's putting some artwork time into it. So
yeah, I'll throw his name out as Pugzo Toys and a bunch of letters and numbers after that. It's not easy to read online, but we'll put a link up.
Yeah, we'll link it in the show notes. And then I guess the last thing we'd really want to go over is the latest Jersey Jack update. I mean, he's got something that rolls out every couple of weeks. So since the last show, what does he put out there for us to kind of feast on?
I actually saw him in Denver. He did a little seminar, whatever, a little speech, and he showed the plastics there, the plastics for Wizard of Oz. Uh-huh. And they weren't what I expected, but they were pretty cool. And when you fit them all together, there's this guy, Peter from the Netherlands on the forums, and he, every time something new comes out, he Photoshops it in. So we're kind of getting a picture of the full game, and the plastics go perfect with the rest of it. They kind of all have this green starburst look to them, but it fits in with the previous animations that he's shown for the LCD monitor. They kind of have the similar look as well. So they're all kind of emerald green with different features. The slingshots are always kind of key. I always key in on the slingshots as a really important plastic. It's something you're staring at the whole game. But a lot of games just put whatever there. Like Spider-Man was terrible. Yeah, just the character's face. This one has characters on it, but it's kind of oddball characters. It's got a Winky guard on one side and one of the Munchkin guards on the other. So they're not crucial characters, but it's kind of this good versus evil thing that actually looks pretty sharp.
Yeah, and atmospheric pieces to the film that you remember. So
yeah. And there's other, they're not all green. You know, kind of in the haunted forest, there's some jagged rock type plastics and stuff. These are all just the flat plastics. You know, none of them are formed or anything, but it was kind of cool to show. And they showed two different outcomes to one of the modes. They showed a video where, you know, Toto is trying to escape when he's in the basket on the back of the witch's bicycle. And so if you shoot the lit shot, Toto will escape. So they show what happens when you hit that shot, and then they show the animation what happens when you miss the shot. And it was kind of cool. It was kind of like the film stops and starts melting. You know, Toto just stays in the basket. And then famously, you know, when you get it, he jumps out and runs and meets Dorothy. So, I don't know. It's kind of cool. For a game that's got an LCD monitor and always has to have something on it, very little has been shown. He's only showed, what, like 5 clips, I think?
Yeah, not too much has leaked out. And obviously, that's... We'll see if he does a big blowout or if it's something that's just like, no, we want you to have that magical experience of discovery. So,
yeah. One other thing that he showed that I don't think anybody's seen in pinball before is the wooden apron. And the rumor is it's a wooden apron. It's got the green kind of sunburst look to it as well. And I've seen one with signatures all over it, all the designers. Uh-huh. And everybody involved in the project has, you know, autographed the wooden apron. And then I saw another one where all the autographs are gone. So I don't know what that means, if the autograph one is for the limited edition or vice versa. And he hasn't really talked about it, but there's rumor that there is a metal apron and that the wooden board is a topper. It's definitely, it's not, you know, big and bulky like a typical apron is. It's just a flat piece of wood.
Right.
But it's still as thick as the playfield. So I guess it's still kind of up in the air and speculation. But he posted all the different playfields that have arrived, the mini playfields, and it all looks pretty exciting.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks really sharp. So
yeah. Well, that's all I really had for news. I don't know if you had any other news bits that you wanted to go over.
No, that's about it.
Yeah, and I was mentioning to Don, we might as well just give our shout-out to pinballhead.com. I mean, that's where I get the majority of my pinball news.
Yeah.
There's obviously the stuff that comes through forums or updates from the manufacturers themselves, but they do a good job staying top of everything there, and they're good about finding pictures and sources for everything. So
yeah, there was a big rumor that Stern was going to announce their latest title this last Friday, so 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And as far as I know, it didn't happen.
I didn't see anything. I was kind of waiting on that as well. So. The hot rumor now is people saying X-Men instead of Avengers, right?
Yeah, the animated X-Men. Anime X-Men, which is kind of
would be odd, but we'll see what happens on that.
Yeah, it's a cool theme. They've talked a lot about different parts of the game. I'm sure we'll talk about it more at another point. I don't want to drag that out too long. But yeah. I totally lost my train of thought, so I'll just stop right there.
No. Well, yeah, so like I said, that does it for news. But let's get into our featured machines. On the physical, actual, real machine front, you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. But let's talk about events first. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's
important. So what's coming up?
Let's see. This weekend? Oh, we're recording the show a little late, so there's nothing. Pinagogo was this past weekend.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that next year. Pinagogo.com. And then
sure, it was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then in 3 weeks from now is the Northwest Pinball and Game Room Show up in Seattle. It's June 8th through 10th, and you can check it out, nwpinballshow.com, Northwest Pinball Show. So I'm actually going – there's a 99% chance I'm going to be there. So – I didn't expect to be. It was going to be in Seattle that weekend, and I had no idea this show was in town that weekend. But if I'm there, I might as well check it out.
Yeah, this is one that's getting bigger every year, and I always hear great things about it. And you know, Seattle's a cool city. Cheap flights from here, so it's something I'm sure if I wasn't going to be in Los Angeles at the time that I'd be interested in going to. So.
Yep, so stay tuned for that. If you're in the Northwest, there's the great pinball communities up there as it is. But other than that, we'll just be enjoying summer coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, getting outside a little bit. Dreaming of being inside playing pinball.
Mm-hmm.
So winter's the time for playing, more so I've noticed. But, you know, there's still some good events coming up. But, yeah, we missed the Pinagogo just barely, so... It's all right. Okay, so featured machine. Sorry, I was jumping the gun on that one early, but we wanted to talk a little bit about one of George Gomez's games, and it's one that is a love it or hate it type of game, it seems. It's pretty polarizing. That's NBA Fast Break.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people tease George about this. I don't know how happy he is to get teased about it. But it's definitely a game where he tried something different, and elements of it have been reused. But the game has never been something that, like, you know, it's a fan layout, but it's got its own unique twist to it. So it's not something you see duplicated too often. It's one you enjoy quite a bit, isn't that right?
Yeah, I love that game. NBA Fast Break, from the first time I went to a pinball convention, that's the one that I kept thinking about and, you know, nagging my wife about. Hey, this game's really cool.
So, yeah, it was kind of a medium-sized run. I guess on IPDB it says 4,414 units, so that's not bad. That is a confirmed number. Obviously, it's the basketball-themed one. It has a few toys on there that obviously are very tied into the basketball theme. And what are the things that kind of jump out of you when you think about this game? Obviously, there's the shot clock on there with the basket, but what are some of the things that you think of first when people mention Fast Break?
This is a game that I think has a lot of very unique elements. But my favorite, one of my favorite aspects is there's a way to actually, like, kind of dribble the ball. When you get to the back of the game, there's a basketball hoop in the middle of the game. But and there's ramps that lead to it and whatnot. But there's also all these little saucers, and you can use the flippers to pass the pinball from saucer to saucer while this mechanical defender moves from saucer to saucer in front of you, trying to block the ball. So there's this defender, and you're trying to get around him to shoot the ball and make a basket, which is one of the coolest things. It's so satisfying, and it's fun to kind of, you know, deke to one side, then back, and make a shot. And at first, the ball is a little bit obscured back there because there's so much going on. And the first time I played it, I didn't really know what was going on. I was just, you know, hitting the flippers and wondering where my ball went. But once I keyed in on it, it's a really, really cool shot. And there's a ramp right up the middle, a very steep ramp that, even despite being right in the middle, I have a very difficult time hitting.
It's a very tight entrance. Yeah. Like I said, it's a straight up the middle shot, but you hit it at an angle and it's not going to make it all the way.
Yeah.
I guess really Stern's NBA is the only one that tried to duplicate some of the stuff in this game. I can't really think of anything that you shoot the ball.
Space Jam, and I think Shaq has something similar.
I guess I'm just saying NBA are the only themes that are around it. But
oh yeah.
I guess World Cup Soccer, you shoot at the goal out of the saucer, but it's a little different. But it's kind of cool how all the ramps and stuff lead into it, into the basketball hoop. But now this is, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, George Gomez takes a little bit of teasing from this game because, like I said, it is polarizing. There's the people who love it, and then there's the people who just don't get it or don't like it, and they think that Gomez was smoking crack when he made this. But you said that he was talking about this game recently. What did he have to say?
Well, one of the biggest reasons people get thrown by it is that it's extremely low scoring. You score in the terms of a basketball game. So yeah. 100 points is a great score, whereas Attack from Mars, you know, you're looking at several hundred billions, I guess.
Yeah.
100 millions for a skill shot and whatnot. So it kind of totally bucked the whole trend of high scoring pinball games. He kind of said that, you know, people like it or don't, but we tried some different things in there, and it is what it is. He didn't get on a soapbox and defend it, but he didn't think it's a bad game, and you know, people like myself love it, so it still holds up. I think it still holds up as a very fun game, especially for kids or non-pinball people. They walk up to it, they know exactly what needs to happen. They need to get the ball in that hoop.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, weird, you know, I got to hit this shot, then that, no loop shots. I mean, there are loop shots in the game, but they're not worried about it. They're worried about hitting the ball into that basket. And then on the back glass, you got an animated back glass. There's a hoop on the back glass, and there's a flipper in the back box. So at certain points in the game, you're flipping the ball.
Uh-huh.
Another thing that really engages you is when you step up, you hit start, you have to pick a basketball team. All the NBA teams are there. And so you pick your team and they pick a competitor. So if you're playing two player, you know, you pick the Jazz and I pick the Nuggets or something. We're playing with kind of our players, and everybody understands kind of how basketball works, even if they're not pinball players. So that level of competitiveness it's really tangible. It's not just shooting for a high score. You're playing against another team.
Yeah, and there's also another thing is where you can link these games together.
Yeah.
And I've never played a linked set. There's one of these games on location nearby, you know, just down in Salt Lake, but I've never seen them linked, and that's something that I think would have been pretty cool.
I think it was the Midwest Gaming Classic where they had two linked. They had like a free set where you actually, they go side by side, and I think you play simultaneously. Yeah, head to head. Yeah, top two players simultaneously compete in timed games. So
yeah,
it sounds pretty awesome.
All right. Well, let's talk about a few considerations if someone's looking to buy one. A few of the things that I know of personally as far as problem areas is, and this is pretty common with any pinball machine, but there are a ton of inserts in the bottom half of this game. And you're going to have to really check to see for insert lifting in that area. If it has Mylar, usually it's pretty cooked. So you're going to always have to check that out. Obviously, like a lot of games, it's pretty prone to cabinet fading, but this one seemed especially bad as far as I've noticed. Kind of like Indiana Jones, it's tough to find one where you don't see a good amount of cabinet fade on it. Obviously, the paint area where you are passing the ball back and forth, that's something where you want to make sure it's mechanically sound, it's clean, and there's not a ton of wear in the area, mm-hmm. unless you're okay with touching it up. But any other things that you've noticed? I know the plastics can get hammered pretty hard in this game as well. But
it seems like almost more often than not, the bagatelle or the flipper in the back glass is broken.
Yeah.
That whole system. The ball's usually pretty rough. A lot of times the back glass has weird, you know, dirt marks on it and stuff. Or the whole mechanism just doesn't work. So there's something you want to look at. And there's a specific plunger in the middle of the lockdown bar. It's a big button. That's how you shoot the ball. It doesn't have a plunger on it. So you want to make sure that's there and working. And I've seen those get, you know, cracked and beat up. So.
And then obviously the shot clock... with that working, that's an issue. But, you know, overall, a lot of, like, the other Gomez games with the fan layout, it's not too hard to shop out. There is a lot of stuff stacked up in the back, but if you just take your time with it, I don't think it's too bad from what I've seen just poking around with one. Some of the ramps are kind of long, so... make sure you know that there's not a lot of cracking on the bends or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's one of those games that if you can find it in decent condition, they're not too problematic if you know how to do some minor fixing.
Mm-hmm.
In a home environment, obviously, it takes a whole lot less of a beating than it would out in the wild. So it's a cool-looking game, too. And this is one of those games that I feel like maybe if you're only going to own one pinball machine, it might not be the one, since it is such a love it hate it type of game, but mixed in with a collection, it really shines because it's such a change of pace experience.
Yeah, it's got that you know, kind of like Champion Pub. It's oddball, and it's really engaging for a few games in a row.
Yes, yeah, great way of putting it. So what would you pay for one of these, Don? I know you've kind of been on the lookout. If one came up, what would you pay?
I'd love to get one around $1,400 or less. They go all the way up. 2,000 isn't crazy, but that's kind of the upper end.
Uh-huh.
Between 14 and 18 is kind of typical. And there was one here in town. It's probably still there. That was $1,000. It was really, really beat. Needed to do DMD and whatnot. I wasn't willing to pay that just because I would have had to pour in probably a good $500. And the operator wasn't willing to budge because little kids were still sticking 50 cents in and having a terrible experience.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah, it's one of those games that, like you mentioned, it does have a pretty good range of pricing. But as you said, there's kind of an extreme high end. I do see this game every once in a while just bottom out. In a single instance, you'll see someone selling for $700-$800. It's going to have issues at that price. But it's one of those ones that maybe they've tried listing it and nobody bit, so they're just like, I want the room. But again, it's not one of those ones you see commonly for sale. So you do have to do a little bit of hunting to find it. I've only seen one come up in my local area before, and it didn't last very long. So,
well, let me know next time you see a beat-up $800 one.
I need to talk to the operator that has one. He has it in a laundromat out in Salt Lake City, and it's turned off a lot. So if that's the case, it's not probably collecting too much money. So maybe I'll talk to him for you, Don. We'll see what's happening
my
there.
My wife will probably kill me, but She actually likes that game. And what I should mention, the way we landed on NBA Fast Break is that George Gomez's birthday is June 1st. So happy birthday, George Gomez. But also, Kevin O'Connor's is June 9th, and he did the art for this game. So nice little 1-2 there.
Thank you guys for the game.
Yeah. So. Great idea. Thank you for taking risks in pinball at a time where, you know, it didn't pay off.
Yeah.
I miss those days, though, because there's no risks. I guess, these boutiques are making a risk, but there's no risks in gameplay anymore.
Yeah, the margins are a little too thin these days to have a machine flop. One bad flop can do a lot of damage to a company. So.
Yeah.
Well, for a virtual table, we don't really have one, but we thought we'd mention the Kickstarter project going on by Farsight Studios. They're the makers of the Pinball Arcade. The Pinball Arcade are the same guys. Well, it's got machines from Stern, from Williams and Bally, and basically it's these guys who did the Pinball Hall of Fame collections. And they're rolling out individual tables that you can download, and this is for consoles, mobile phones, and kind of the model that they've done is when you buy it, you get a couple of machines, and then you can add on. Mm-hmm. You can purchase additional ones. Well, they want to do Twilight Zone, and obviously Twilight Zone is just packed full of... there's a few roadblocks. One, it's a lot of machine to emulate. There's a ton of moving parts. It's a wide body. It's got a lot of modes. But there's more licensing considerations to it than some of the original themes. Like, they have already done Medieval Madness, but that was all an original theme that they didn't have to license out a lot of stuff. Twilight Zone, obviously, there's a license holder for the name, for the art, for the music, and all those sort of things, and even the image of the characters. So they put a Kickstarter up to try and raise the amount of money to mitigate the risk of investing in this machine, and they're looking to raise $55,000 to make it happen. There's 27 days as of right now for the project, and there's 884 people who have donated, and they're right now at $24,947, so 45% of their goal. Obviously, they're on target to get it, but a lot of these Kickstarters are really front-loaded as mm-hmm. far as the money they receive. You can throw in, you know, what you want, as little as a penny up to, you know, obviously unlimited amount. And they have rewards for what you give. If you give at least $10, then you're going to get a downloadable copy of it on your platform of choice, except for the Xbox 360. That one you would have to purchase separately. Just by the way, Microsoft doesn't allow you to give free DLC out, so... $10 gets you the table, and then as you go up, you could get some additional things. Like, for example, if for the $50 one, you get some wallpaper, you get entry into a tournament they're going to run for the supporters, an exclusive entry in that. If you go up to $100, you get some more. That's kind of the next jump up. You'll get early access to it and operator's menu, things like that. So you give what you want. I've kicked in... And just enough to get the free table. I think I put in $15. I think they'll probably be able to raise it. But if it's something like if you have this for your iPhone, iPad, Android, tablet, or phone, 360, PS3, Vita, wherever you own it, and you're really wanting a game like Twilight Zone to come out, this is kind of your way of supporting it. So obviously $10 is more expensive than it would cost to download the machine when it releases, but you're kind of helping make it happen. So,
yeah, I think you nailed that right there. You're helping make it happen. For me and Jeff, we're lucky we own the actual game, but mm-hmm. think of all the people that would purchase this if it were available. And when they're purchasing things, that money goes into making more tables. So for me, that would be my motivation, is just keeping Farsight going, keeping the ball rolling, and keeping more tables coming. They just released Circus Voltaire and Funhouse to a ton of platforms this past week. And they just added a Kindle Fire to their list of platforms.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Circus Voltaire is a game I don't have behind me, so I can't play, and that's one I enjoyed playing this week virtually. And so for that ball to keep rolling, I'm down to kick some bucks in.
Yeah, and like I said, Circus Voltaire is a game that I'm interested in that platform. I don't own one. I actually, it's not my favorite game, but I would love to have a digital version of it. So these guys make that possible. And Twilight Zone, like you said, is one of those things that lots of people would look forward to it. One of the biggest gaming forums online is the Gaming Age forums. And when this project was announced, I bet you every 10th person said, oh, if they got Twilight Zone or Addams Family, I'm in. Mm-hmm. So if they could get this machine out there, I think it would bring a lot more people on board that would buy into the platform. And we could probably see just more and more machines rolling out. So this could be a tipping point one way or the other for them. But we're not telling you to go donate. If you're interested, definitely do. But it's up to you if you want to, you know, help make that happen, or if you'd rather just buy it when it is available. But that's on Kickstarter. We'll put the link in the show notes. So I guess you have, you know, we haven't done a location report for a couple of months now, and you have one for us, huh?
I do. Again, when I was in Vegas, I went to the Riviera because the Pinball Hall of Fame is sort of an extension of their big warehouse of games at the Riviera. There's maybe 20 or 30 of them, and they all came from the Pinball Hall of Fame collection. And my wife and I are huge fans of CSI, the pinball machine. And since they took it out of the Pinball Hall of Fame, we were really bummed. But I saw it in somebody's pictures. They were taking pictures of Spanish Eyes, and I saw it in the background. So I figured it had a new home. And sure enough, we went over to the Riviera, which was an interesting casino compared to the Bellagio where we were staying. But anyway, they got pinball machines there. They had the CSI. It was in okay shape. We had fun playing a couple games. And they're still set on the same generous model that the Hall of Fame games are. So we had several free games and extra balls mixed in there. They had a Batman Dark Knight there. They had Iron Man, Family Guy. They had both versions of Spanish Eyes. The English one and the not English one. I can't think of the name of the other one. They had maybe
the international
one. Yeah, the international one. But it had a slightly different play field and whatnot. Same back glass, just different a name. And, I don't know, maybe a dozen EMs, 10 or 15 EMs. They had Taxi there. They had NBA Fast Break and an NBA, a Stern NBA, which is another game I really like. It was cool to try that. They had a Nightmare on Elm Street. Just games that you didn't see at the Pinball Hall of Fame. You don't see a whole lot. They had a Slugfest there and a Lord of the Rings. So it was worth the trip. They were all, you know, 50 cents or whatever. Same kind of payment plan or whatever as the Pinball Hall of Fame. But one of the highlights is right next door is a place called the Pepper Mill. And they had huge portions with fairly low prices, which is not something you see in Vegas. So I recommend if you're going to stop by the Riviera, you might as well go next door and check out the Pepper Mill. They're not paying me to say that. But it was kind of it was like an old Vegas style restaurant too. Like they had people coming by taking your picture while you're eating, you know, and then they try and sell you the picture. I don't know. I hadn't been in a restaurant like that since I was a kid, but the food was awesome and they had giant portions. So there's a little plug for that joint.
Well, cool. Yeah. Glad to know that the machines are kept up well and they're not treated as the ghetto of the Hall of Fame. So
no.
So yeah, like that, I had heard that was there, but I'd never known the condition or what was even over there. Yeah, but
it's kind of far down the strip.
Yeah,
the other end of the strip, I guess.
I guess that's nice if you're staying on that end. Yeah, gives you an option. So
yeah.
Well, great. Let's kind of run through some of our random stuff that we like to do. I mean, you know, we talk about Craigslist or local classified stuff. What's been popping up in your neck of the woods and anything that's tempting you?
Yeah, I had a couple games I wanted to mention. Out in Gilbert, Arizona, I saw Kings of Steel pinball machine that actually looks pretty nice. It's got all new lamps and bumpers, and you know, $500 isn't terrible. So if you're in the Phoenix area, it might be worth taking a look at. I always liked the back glass on that game. Kind of like I don't know, just different battling armies with this weird card theme thrown in. So,
yeah.
Kind of cool. If you hate having money, there's a Roy Clark pinball table out in Vegas. $500.
Yeah.
Only twice what it's worth, and it's not working. So, it needs board work. So, good luck selling that one. But I thought it was kind of interesting. And there was there's a 1984 Gottlieb Rock pinball machine out near Dallas. for $300, which, again, from the pictures, it looks pretty nice. It's an oddball theme, but I don't know. It's kind of cool. $300 for a solid-state game isn't bad.
No, not too bad. Especially if you're one of those people that's... I don't know many of these guys, but there's a lot of people that have lots of room and they just want a, you know, a nice lineup of different games. But yeah, for that price, it's worth throwing into your lineup. But
and I want to mention a buddy of mine has a F-14 up in Santa Fe on Craigslist for $1,000, and that's with all LEDs and in working condition.
Deal.
That is a good deal. It's a really fun game that my wife and I have just started to really enjoy.
It's a loud game.
It is a loud game.
It's a good.
That's very tempting. So I guess we'll see how things happen with the Simpsons I'm looking for, but very tempting. So good luck selling that one.
All right. Some of the stuff that kind of popped up around here. This isn't actually a pinball machine, but those gumball machines where, you know, you get the one gum and it drops down, and if you can hit the target with the flippers, you get another one. Mm-hmm. There's one of those self. The guy has three of them, and he's asking about $80 each. It's just not too bad. If you like those game room things, we're going to talk about a little bit that are pinball related, but aren't exactly pinball. That's not too bad of a price. There's a home use only party animal that's here in Utah as well. He's asking $13.50 for it. That's a fair price, I would say, for a home use only machine. I don't know if you're a party animal fan and you want a perfect looking game. There you go. Some other stuff around here. Some overpriced Jurassic Park and No Fear.
Yeah.
They look nice, but they're asking $3,200 for the JP, which is about $1,800
yeah,
too much.
Twice what it's worth. Yeah.
So, the No Fury's asking $2,800, which again is about $1,000 too much. Some other things that I'd seen, a $600 8-Ball Deluxe. At that price, if you're a big, you know, fan of the game, you could get that and a playfield and still be in it at about the right price to have a nice restored game.
Cool. People seem to love that game. It's never done anything for me, but man, a lot of people love that game.
I like how it looks. I like the back glass. I am not a big fan of playing it. It's fun because if you're an accurate, you know, flipper, I guess that's what it is. It's a real
a player's game.
Challenging one if you can hit the shots as it calls them out. So, but you know, I don't know. Not the biggest draw for me. And then the last one, which kind of has me twitching a little bit, is the Black Hole for $1,000. It's a little bit high for the condition, but I may actually talk to that guy about that one, see if I can wiggle him a little bit. I should be on a buying freeze right now. I've been pretty good about not picking anything up with this upcoming move, but if the right thing comes along, nothing's stopping me.
Not that you're not out there looking actively looking for deals, apparently.
No, I just every day.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, there's also Rescue 911, which I know you're not a fan of, and a Twister that's around here as well. Twister's $2,500, so that's about $1,000 too high, I would say. But sometimes that game goes a little bit up just because it's a Sega.
I don't understand. And see, people love that game too, and I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
some
people have really hardcore, awesome collections, and Twister. Like what? Yeah. Something's not like the others here.
I don't know, and it's just one of those kind of unique looking games when you walk up to it. But for me, it's never been the most fun to play. So yeah.
Or look at.
I don't know. If anybody's interested, let me know. There's a $2,500 or best offer one out here. I'd be happy to help you swing a deal if that's what your heart's set on. So, well, let's talk about a few tips. You've got one of your own, and then we've got some that have been submitted. So,
yeah, no slight to the veterans. Thank you, veterans, for serving our country. Memorial Day is coming up, and it is the day that I remember to change my pinball batteries. So, Memorial Day, I don't know why a lot of people do it New Year's, but for me, Memorial Day, power up your games and swap out the batteries, and you'll be good to go for another year.
Yes, and do it with the power on.
Yeah, unless you want to lose all those scores.
Yep. But, yeah, the main idea is just pick a day of the year and always do it.
Yep. So. Same day you do your smoke alarms, if you still have those battery-powered smoke alarms, don't neglect your games. You don't want acid damage just because you're forgetful.
Yeah, it's you know, it's too bad that pinball machines didn't chirp at you with two. So,
so. That would be awful.
It would be, especially a big collection.
Yeah, 2 dozen smoke alarms in the house every year.
Which one is it?
Yeah. You ever see that Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David running around the house with a baseball bat, just smashing them, trying to figure out what's going on?
No, but I had three going off at the same time, house, two upstairs, one downstairs. I couldn't believe my stupid luck, and I couldn't pin down which ones they were, so I just ripped them all off and went and stuck them all under the cushions of the couch, and I dealt with it the next day. So.
They always wait until the middle of the night. Never 11 in the morning.
Never during the day.
Yeah. All right.
And it's always between 2 and 4 in the a.m. So.
We're running a little long. Do you want to hit repair tips, or you want to keep going?
I'll just read through them.
Okay.
These ones come in through Mike S., and he emailed these in, so here's some great ones. He says he gets rubberized drawer liner, and it's just a couple bucks a roll. When he uses it, he unrolls it on the glass, so that way, you know, if you put tools down, they don't slide all the way down to the lockdown bar. Excellent tip. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you set something on the glass and it starts to run away from you. So that's a great thing. Also, I put it on. I have one of those carts that you can push around, and I use it to cover the bottom of that. Great. He also says he uses 5 of those red lunch trays, like the ones you get in a cafeteria. He put tools, parts, anything on them, keeps things from going away. And then when it's time to clean up, if you're not done, you can just move the trays. So that's a great tip. And he says it's great because you can just carry all your stuff and hide it away in a closet and the wife doesn't yell at you. And that's really the key.
Critical there. Yeah.
He says if you're gluing things together, like broken plastics, to do it on a sheet of parchment paper. Obviously, you can pick that up in grocery stores. It's in the aisles with the aluminum foil and wax paper. But nothing really sticks to parchment paper. So as you glue the stuff through, you can be pretty liberal with your glue, and it will still peel clean from the parchment. Excellent tip on that one. That's one I've seen done, but not a lot of people mention that. And then the other thing he mentioned, and this is one of those fixes that if you just aren't paying attention, you can miss it. He says a lot of problems he's had fixed by just replacing connectors. So have extra connectors on hand. He suggests to go to Great Plain Electronics to get a good crimper and some connectors. And he said he's done, tons of different repairs with the crimper he bought from that site. And I've dealt with Great Plains Electronics. It's a great place to buy from.
Mm-hmm. I have too.
And I agree. I've had issues with connectors before, and sometimes everything looks just right, but maybe just one of those pins is loose and it looks okay. So you get a problem that's either intermittent or it's wrong, and you've chased the wiring and it all looks right, but it's just that connector. So if you have a weird issue that you just can't solve, always check that connector.
And we'll post the part number that he references on Great Plains.
Yes. So that's it for tips. I don't have any of my own this month. I'll save it when we're not running long. And I think Mike gave us a lot to work on there. I'm going to get some of those trays. I don't have any of those, but that just sounds too convenient not to have. So, sometimes we also throw out some buying tips. We'll save those for next time as well. We want to save some time for our contest.
Yes.
So, why don't you introduce the contest here, Don, and tell people how they can win?
Sure. We've got a copy of the new Pins and Vids 4 DVD that was graciously donated by Al Warner and Paul Kiefert. So we have actually, two copies of that to give away?
Yeah.
So we would like to send those out. We've also got a couple issues of the new Drop Target zine, issue number 4, by John Chad and Alec Longstreth. That is really, really cool. I saw Rob Craig posted a picture. As soon as he got it out of the mail, he ripped it open, started reading it, and I did the same thing. I stopped what I was doing, started reading the zine, and pretty much did the same thing with the Pins and Vids DVD. As soon as I got that out, all right, time to sit on the couch, throw the DVD in.
Yep.
So we got a couple copies of those to give away. The way you can get them is to send us an email, a Twitter, a text, a Facebook message on your favorite pinball related game room items that aren't pinball machines. So I guess that would just be, favorite game room items that aren't pinball machines.
Yeah, you might have a playfield hanging on the wall. Maybe you've made some art out of some pop bumpers or flippers, maybe it's a poster, you got a flyer collection, whatever it is.
Lights. Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know. So a lot of people are always asking for ideas to decorate the game room. Let's see what you guys have got.
And if you've got something specifically hanging up in your house, we'd love to see a picture of it. You know, shoot a picture and email it to us, and we'll put it up on the blog.
Yep.
That'd be really cool.
So pretty easy entry, and then we'll obviously pick some winners. We'll contact you, and for the first, you know, if you're a winner, you can choose whether you want the pins and vids or the drop target zine. If one's gone, then we'll let you know when you win that the other's available. But if you're one of the first winners, you can choose. So we'll get those out to you.
And I wanted to, can I talk real quick on why you would want to win these awesome items?
Yes.
All right. Drop Target Zine is a fan zine that is handmade by a couple of artists up in, I think they're living in Idaho, I want to say. Gosh, I don't have my thing with me. I feel very unprepared, but I read the whole magazine. Every month they do custom pinball machine, like kind of like a centerfold that's in color that they've been going through the Harry Potter books. So they do another Harry Potter book, but it seems like all their friends want to chip in with their game room ideas. So there's a really cool Conan the Barbarian playfield in here, and they go through all the rules and different modes they would have. There's interviews with Keith Elwin and Bowen Cairns, because the theme of this issue is how to play pinball, like how to get better and techniques. So it shows you a lot of the different techniques, and then it goes ahead and talks to a couple of the experts, some of the best players in the country, on, you know, how they got started, what their techniques are, how they got better. And specifically that I found interesting was the games that they, you know, that challenged them, the games that they whooped, you know, the games they enjoy playing. Mm-hmm. So it's a great magazine. This feels like the beefiest one yet. They're all about, I don't know, maybe between 30 and 50 pages. But they're very lovingly made. They're a lot of fun to read. It's kind of like a comic book that's just about pinball.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've got a good cohesive flow through them. So they're a lot of fun to read. Like, so just along with the Pin Game Journal, they're the best we have mm-hmm. as far as the community developed stuff. So.
And they're only $5.
Yeah, so well worth
can't
it.
Can't go wrong there. And then Pins and Vids, it's been 5 years since the last Pins and Vids DVD was released. I can't believe it's been that long.
I know.
So it's kind of cool with all the different episodes, or not episodes, but segments they have on this DVD. Some of them were shot in like 2009, and that they still felt really cool and really relevant.
Yeah, it's a good thing pinball stuff isn't relying too much on timeliness.
Yeah, and all the way up to segments that they put together like 3 weeks ago, because it just came out last week. And they're like, oh, yeah, last week we edited this. And there was something from, like, April that they were talking about. So it shows, like, the installation of a color DMD on an Attack from Mars, which was actually kind of interesting. It looked way different than I expected it to. It's like a whole big screen. I don't know. I'll let you watch the DVD and check it out.
Yeah.
But there's also interviews with Pinball Inc.'s James Laughlin. There's an interview with Steve Kordick. There's some video game stuff on there. It is Pins and Vids. But even that was actually pretty interesting. Of course, I like video games. There's a tour of TNT Amusements with Todd Tuckey, as well as a tour of his own game room in his home. And he's always fun to watch. And he tells a pretty interesting story. And then there's all these little commercials between each segment of, like, different hillbillies, like Bob and Bob's, you know, chiropractic repair. So when your back goes out lifting a pin and... they're just there for fun, but it's about an hour and a half long, so it's kind of like a feature-length DVD, but it's actually professionally made. It's wrapped and sealed. It's, you know, regular DVD case. It's got a commentary track. It's got some bonus stuff, including a game room where this gentleman built two custom Batman machines, including a Pinball 2000 Batman machine.
Yeah, I haven't seen this episode yet, but I'm dying to check it out.
Yeah, it was very cool. Way over my head, but it looked pretty awesome. So the DVDs are $12. They're at pinsandvids.com, and definitely worth the $12 plus shipping. But they're very cool. And again, those guys gave us a DVD to give away, so we'd love to share that with you guys.
Yeah, just a kind of a quick story. I'll make it quick. This last year, towards the end of 2011. In a kind of early November, my father-in-law fell ill. He got hepatitis from when he was young, through vaccinations. The hospital messed up or something, and him and his brother were infected, and it's now come to the point where in November he was on full-on liver failure, and they weren't sure he was going to make it, and it was getting pretty scary. So my wife, she's from Santa Barbara, California, she flew out there, and she took my son, 2-year-old son, and went down there to help out and spend time with him in the hospital and help with her little brother who still lives at home, and just be down there. And we didn't know how long she'd be there because they were at the point where he needed the liver transplant or he wasn't going to make it. And so we were just waiting and waiting. He was on the top of the donor list, but nothing was coming in. And so it was a really stressful time for me. I'm still going to work. I'd come home, empty house with my wife and son gone. And I actually hadn't seen any of the Pins and Vids videos, and I'd wanted to. And so I was like, man, I'll give him a shot. Now's the time. And so I got the full set of them that were available. And at night, I would my wife would spend all day at the hospital, and she'd get back, she'd text, and it'd be pretty late at night that we'd be texting back and forth, or we'd call and talk about how, my father-in-law was doing in the day. But I'd sit up and watch those videos while I was waiting to hear from her. And it sounds cheesy because they're silly little skits mixed with good information and stuff, but it really helped to kind of just take my mind off of things for a while, and really helped to kind of de-stress me out at the end of those days, as I was waiting to hear from her. And so it's kind of weird, the two things are tied together, those videos and that whole thing going on. Eventually my father-in-law did get the liver transplant the day before they were going to cut him off and just say, sorry, there's nothing we can do. So it turned out well, and he's well on his way to recovery. He's still got a rough, year or so ahead of him, but things went well. But I can't wait to get the next one. It snuck up on me as it came out, so I'm going to jump on and order that tomorrow morning before I start my work day, and we'll be happy to see it. So, and be happy to give a couple of those away as well. So
that's kind of a cool memory to have,
Yeah.
Something that got you through a rough spot, you always have, you probably have a fondness for.
So. Yeah, for sure. And when she came back, I was watching him in the bedroom, and when she came back, my kid always would turn on, one of his shows in the morning as he was waking up, and as she's getting ready, he'd sit on the bed and watch it. And instead of The Lion King or whatever was normally sitting in the DVD player, he had Pins and Vids Startup, and she was kind of confused, but I was like, oh yeah, that's what I was watching whenever I was waiting for you to get in touch with me, so.
Very nice.
But. Well, Don, I don't have anything more left to squeeze out of this month's show. I don't know if there's anything you want to talk to.
Well, there's lots to say, but we'll save it for next month.
Yeah. All right, then. So, everybody, thanks for listening. Just as a quick reminder, you can contact us, facebook.com/pinballpodcast, twitter.com/pinballpodcast, thepinballpodcast.com, or... you can email us at pinballpodcast@gmail.com. So get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you, feedback, comments, whatever it may be. Thanks for everybody for listening. This has been great. And Don, I guess for one more month, keep flipping, huh?
Keep flipping. We'll see you next month.
All right. See you guys.